Well, maybe some of you have had the experience of taking children on a long car trip, and you've barely left the driveway when you hear from the back seat, "Are we there yet?" Long journeys can bring out the worst in us, whether literal journeys in the car or metaphorical journeys through life and seasons and circumstances. They can sometimes leave us impatient and restless and irritable, anxious to be done with this particular trying circumstance and move on. In fact, it can even be tempting to go back to the good old days before all of the trying times happened. And like little children, we can cry out, "Lord, are we there yet?" Wilderness experiences are times when we feel dry and uninspired, like we're wandering around in circles with no inherent purpose. We don't know where we're going. We don't see where God is leading us, and God may feel very distant at this time. Today, we're reading in our continuing series on the story, the Bible as one continuous story of God and God's people. We're reading about Israel in her own wilderness experience. We see this overarching plan of God's story of redemption being played out in the nation of Israel, in the lower stories of the individual men and women in the scriptures. To recap to this point, we've seen that Israel has come through this great exodus. God delivered them from Egypt and given them a new law and a new covenant and gave them a promise of new land. And they're traveling there and they're ready to enter, but yet they're not quite ready to enter. They need to go through this period of testing and trust for God to provide and guide them. Israel enters the wilderness. Now, looking at this story that we have today, we see that they were promised this great land. They send a few spies in. They see this land. A couple of the spies say, "Yeah, this land is really good, and if God promises it to us, we can take it." And the others were like, "No, they're big giants in this land, and they'll overtake us, and they'll overthrow our country, and God, why have you brought us into this wilderness? We were better off back in Egypt. Let's go back." So you have these two sides debating on whether to go into the promised land. And God threatens to kind of give up on the whole enterprise and promises to take Moses and form a whole new nation. But Moses prays and says, "No, your reputation is at stake, Lord. What will they think of you in Egypt if you weren't able to fulfill the promises you made?" So God fulfills his promise, but does so in a slightly different way. He says, none of those who had seen all of these miraculous signs in Egypt will see this promised land. And they are determined then to wander in the desert for 40 years. Now, to give you a little bit of geography, the trip from Egypt to Canaan is normally a distance of about 250 miles, about from here to Norfolk, Virginia. And it should have taken about 3 to 4 weeks tops. And it was a direct road, it was a direct route. And yet, instead of taking the direct route, God takes them on a different path, on a different way through this longer involved journey that ends up taking 40 years. Now, why did this 3 to 4 week journey end up taking 40 years? Well, Rabbi Evan Moffick shares some interesting insights into this passage. He reflects that Jewish folk wisdom gives us a memorable answer. It took 4 days to take Israel out of Egypt. It took 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. The Israelites had been slaves for 400 years. They could not become a free people overnight. And so God directed them to take the long way around, the scenic route, and more so, all the way around the Sinai Peninsula through the desert to the Promised Land. Now, why did God do this? It seems like God is punishing Israel, and it seems like it's a very harsh punishment to us. Why would he want to essentially wait till this whole generation dies off before a new one could go in? It seems, it kind of strikes us as unnecessarily harsh, but I believe God had a redemptive purpose in this. Rabbi Moffick reflects, freedom takes time. Before they had freedom, the Jewish people had to learn responsibility. They had to learn to build community. They had to learn to create new institutions. Freedom and responsibility truly go hand in hand in our spiritual lives. The greater spiritual freedom as the capacity to grow and change. We are not stuck where we are. We can continue to grow closer to God throughout our lives, but it takes work and it takes responsibility. So God's purpose in having Israel wander through the wilderness was to provide a training ground to prepare a new generation for the responsibility of living life in the promised land. And what did they learn specifically in this time of wandering? Well, they learned to trust God for provision. Elsewhere in the scriptures, it talks about God providing manna from heaven so that they could gather it each day. And it was only enough for each day. So they could gather enough to have each day for their time in the wilderness. They had the sense of spiritual freedom, but they needed to be reminded, they needed to trust God each and every day for basic provision. Instead of bringing a sense of freedom and trust, the wilderness often brought out the worst in them, and they needed to learn to trust God. They had witnessed all these great miracles, the Passover, the Exodus across the Red Sea, the parting waters, the drowning of Pharaoh's army, and yet they had spiritual amnesia. They forgot that God was all-powerful and a loving deliverer, and as soon as things got tough, they became anxious and complaining. They were complaining, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Did God bring us out into the desert to die? Let's go back to Egypt. And so the Lord needed to help them grow in deeper trust. He responded in grace by providing for them every day the food that they needed. And he taught them not only to trust in the provision, but also to trust in the Lord's guidance. They learned to wait upon the Lord's timing. They were led by this pillar, this cloud during the day, and this pillar of fire at night. And they learned to wait upon the Lord for the Lord's timing and not relying on their own sense of timing, which was often grounded in anxiety and impatience and in hair trigger response. They learned to wait and move when the Lord said move and stay when the Lord said stay. And the third thing they learned is they also learned to forge a new identity as a nation, as the Lord's people. They learned how to live together and worship together and eat and sleep and gather and work and wait together over 40 years to build this sense of identity, to build this sense of togetherness so that they were able to have this common identity when they went into the promised land. New generations were raised in the wilderness, and they grew up learning to see and trust in God's provision each and every day. They had both the physical and spiritual training for what was to come in the promised land, and they became better, stronger followers of God, and they learned more of God's redemptive purposes. Many scholars think Israel's wanderings foreshadow Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus' 40 days of fasting and temptation by Satan in the desert after his baptism is believed to be a mirror of Israel's 40 years of wandering. Jesus Christ is a spiritual manna, true bread from heaven and food of eternal life. John 6, verse 40 says, "This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day." This resurrection, this life everlasting, this new way of living was not just for the future, but for right here and now, as we learn to trust in God's provision, in Jesus Christ for our life and guidance and sustenance and redemption. A little bit later, we'll be celebrating communion, which is a spiritual act. It is a form of spiritual sustenance where we remember the events of the past but also have Christ's spiritual presence to strengthen us. It's also All Saints Sunday where we celebrate all of those people who learned to trust God and were shaped by God's word and nurtured along the way. And we can follow the example of their faithfulness and their trust and their obedience that shaped them into the great saints that they are. Their witness can help us in our times of wandering. Some scholars believe the church is a form of spiritual Israel that that is often in a wilderness wandering, and at times we can feel like we are wandering, like we're resident aliens, foreigners in a foreign, often hostile land that frightens us and makes us anxious and uncomfortable and makes us question if God is truly with us. And we too can learn to trust in God's provision and wait upon God's timing and trust God to shape us into people who can be resilient and who can follow him regardless of the circumstances around us. We're bound together in faith, and coming together in this community and worshiping together can make us more unified, make us stronger, and train us to be part of God's story, to be part of God's plan of redemption in Christ as his followers. And we can look at our own times of wandering. Are we in the desert? How is God calling us to greater trust and provision in these times of spiritual wilderness? How can we have a greater sense of waiting and trust in God's timing? In many ways, I think the church in the 21st century, or at least the church in the West, is learning how to trust God in the wilderness of today's culture, a culture that is not as receptive to institutional religious expression as previous generations were. A time when Christianity as a faith tradition is not going to enjoy such a central place of privilege and priority as it once did in our society. And a place where we're called to follow Jesus while learning to be tolerant and generous to those of other backgrounds, of other faith traditions, and empathetic toward those who have grown skeptical and even hostile toward organized religion. The so-called nuns and duns. Nuns not being Catholic nuns, but those who, when given a list of religious choices, would check the box none of the above. It's an increasing category of people in our society. And also the duns. The duns are those who grew up in a particular tradition and are now done with it for whatever reason. The American church is in a time of wandering when we can learn to rediscover our first love, the compelling call of Jesus to follow him and become a source of spiritual blessing to all those around us. As the Israelites grew in their faith in the wilderness, even though it wasn't always a pleasant experience, so we too can learn to grow, even though we're not always in a comfortable experience. In some ways, Israel was closer to God in terms of their faith and trust and obedience to God during their wilderness wanderings than they were at other times. And I think that the Christian church in our present age can also be strengthened in our faith through this time of wandering. We can learn to develop greater faith and trust and obedience in God. Even more so when we enjoy the benefits of having the central place in society with all its privileges. It's tempting for the church to want to go back to the good old days when the church was full on Sunday morning and we were literally the only game in town. When the parking lot was full and the pews were full and the building was new and didn't need repairs and the offering plates were brimming and parents brought their kids faithfully to church instead of soccer practice or whatever we think families do on Sunday mornings instead of coming here. It was so easy to be the church back then. And it's so tempting to want to go back. It's tempting to want to go back to Egypt. Yet God has called us out of the wilderness to wander for a time. We don't know for how long. And we're called to be faithful, to learn to be the kind of people who can follow Jesus faithfully and who can become the kind of people that do the things he taught us to do, to care for the poor and marginalized, to forgive our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to love one another and our neighbors, to show mercy and kindness and generosity to others. And in a world full of so much violence and hatred and polarization, we can show the world what it looks like to live under God's reign, which is a different economy, one of love and justice and peace. In some ways, we can learn to be a more faithful church and more faithful individual followers of Jesus than we did when things were easy, when it was comfortable. The wilderness times we're finding us in can shape us into being deeper, more faithful followers of Jesus than we've ever been, even if it isn't always comfortable or safe. Even if we don't know exactly where we're going or where we're going to end up or what it's going to look like. God knows where God is leading us, and God is faithful. God will direct us and provide for us along the way, and we need to learn to trust and follow. And so, brothers and sisters, let us learn to trust and follow God in the wilderness wanderings in our lives and in the life of the church. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.